Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are working our way through the text in Colossians 2:12 by asking a series of questions of the text. The text speaks of baptism. When it says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. The text is short enough, but it is, well, what should I say? It is challenging enough. It is complex enough to cause us to give it some serious thought, and that's what we are endeavoring to do. And we'll continue that on the Beacon broadcast on this Tuesday, June 21, and able to do so by the financial gifts of radio listeners just like yourself. Thank you so very, very much. I review the questions that we have covered, and then we come to the fourth question today. But the first question is the following. Is this reference to baptism to water baptism or to the baptism of the Spirit? Holy Spirit baptism. Answer, this is Spirit baptism. Question number two, what does this baptism accomplish? Answer, three things according to the text. Number one, union with Christ. Number two, participation in the death of Christ. And number three, participation in the resurrection of Christ. Question number three, how do we appropriate these blessings for ourselves? And the answer is through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Through faith, which is the instrument that secures these blessings for the people of God. It is not water baptism or any other work that secures them, but faith is the instrument by which we lay hold of Christ. We believe in God. We believe in the works of God. We believe in the powerful resurrecting work of God. We believe that only God is able to raise the dead. We acknowledge our helpless condition, that we are unable to raise ourselves. We acknowledge that He has the power to do this, and He alone has the power to do this. And we cry out to Him to do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. We are not trusting in ceremony. We are not trusting in our good works, our accomplishments, our actions. We are certainly not trusting in our baptism, our water baptism, but we are trusting in God, who is able to raise the dead, because that's what salvation is. It is a spiritual resurrection. It is raising those who are spiritually dead and making them alive in Christ Jesus. Which brings us now to our fourth question, which is the following. How does Spirit baptism relate to water baptism? That is important, isn't it? Because the wording of verse 12 on the surface does not make it clear which is being referred to here, and there is a very close connection between them. It is only by looking more carefully at what this baptism in verse 12 accomplishes that leads me to conclude that Paul has in mind the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Of course, it has led some people to conclude that water baptism is necessary for salvation. This is the process by which God joins us to Christ, namely through water baptism, or by a combination of faith and water baptism. But that clearly contradicts other passages of Scripture that make it clear that there is no work that we can do For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, and so forth. Other similar texts that make it clear that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and not through water baptism. It's faith in Christ alone, not faith in Christ plus water baptism. So that's one reason why I have come to the conclusion that Paul is in this text talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But that does not rule out the close connection here between water baptism. And so in this fourth question, I am attempting to answer the question, how does spirit baptism relate to water baptism? And I acknowledge the close connection. And I would state very clearly that spirit baptism, which is the greater of the two, if we're talking about baptism by the Holy Spirit and baptism with water, and which is greater, which is more important, we might say, well, surely we understand that it is baptism by the Holy Spirit which is greater, which is more important, because that's the one that actually accomplishes salvation. Water baptism doesn't do that. It's the baptism by the Holy Spirit as He joins us to Christ, as He places us in Christ in His death and places us in Christ in His resurrection, causes us to participate in the death of Christ and in the resurrection of Christ. All of these are spiritual matters accomplished by the Holy Spirit, and that work is described here with the term baptism. Other places in Scripture, other language is used. Other terms are used. But here the term is baptism. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But spirit baptism, which is certainly the greater of the two, if we're comparing spirit baptism to water baptism, spirit baptism, listen to me now, this is very important, doesn't cancel water baptism. The Bible teaches both. And just because water baptism is not what accomplishes salvation doesn't mean that it doesn't have biblical warrant and validity and that it is of no consequence to a believing child of God. It is of great consequence. It is a matter of obedience or disobedience. It's as simple as that. And it's closely linked to another issue which seems to baffle a lot of people, and that's the question of church membership. And that, of course, becomes an issue, among other things, because of the two different concepts of the church. Just like when we're talking about water or we're talking about baptism, we've got two concepts that are both indicated in Scripture. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or spiritual baptism, on the one hand. There is water baptism on the other hand. And the point is that just because there is such a thing as spirit baptism, some people may have difficulty recognizing that, but it's clearly taught, but just because there is such a thing as spirit baptism doesn't mean that that fact cancels out any teaching regarding an obligation to water baptism. Far from it. Water baptism is an acknowledgement of spirit baptism, as I will try to explain a little bit more in a moment, and I was making the analogy in regard to church membership, because again, the same issues, it seems to me, underlie this whole debate. When you talk about the church, the Bible teaches two different concepts of church. Again, there are some who will debate this. They want to only make one, but I, without going into the evidence right now, I insist that the Bible teaches two. There is the local church, the local body of believers, of Christians, who assemble in one place, and it's more than just their assembling in one place. It is their bond together as living believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, organized according to New Testament principles with God-ordained pastors and deacons and so forth. But there is an even greater expression of the church, which is what we sometimes call the church universal, or the bride of Christ, or the body of Christ. It's the invisible church is sometimes a word that is used for it, a term that is used for it. It is the church of which all born-again believers are members. And that church doesn't assemble in any one place upon earth. It will assemble in one place in heaven. One day, that church will actually assemble. All born-again believers will be present and will assemble together in one location. Millions of them. That'll be quite the place. It certainly wouldn't be possible upon earth, would it? But it will be possible. It will take place in heaven. 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands shall gather together in that place. And that church is the perfect church in every regard. It is the perfect church, number one, because all those who are in heaven have been entirely sanctified, and so they are perfect individuals, perfect Christians. But it is the perfect church, number two, because nobody will be in the church but those who have truly been born again. And it's very difficult to know for certain that that's true of any local church. But here's the point. Just because there is such a thing as the invisible church, and just because every born-again believer has automatic membership in the invisible church, does not cancel out the need for membership in a local church. People have difficulty with that. And they think because one is true, then the other is negated. It is not important. It is not valid. It is not necessary. Far from it. And the same thing is true here in regard to the issue of baptism, and the two are closely related. And here you've got spirit baptism, as we have it in our text in Colossians chapter 2. You've got water baptism, as it is clearly taught in other places in Scripture. I could cite many texts, but let the Great Commission suffice for the moment. Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them. You baptize them, you disciples. That's not Holy Spirit baptism, that's water baptism. This is not the Holy Spirit baptizing them into something. It is the followers of Jesus Christ, men who are saved by Christ and commissioned by Christ to go into all the world and to proclaim the gospel, that when the gospel, by the work of the Holy Spirit, has saved people, it has made disciples, that is, followers of Jesus Christ, then those disciples are to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's water baptism. That's a work which we do. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Every part of the Great Commission is carried out by men, not by the Holy Spirit, although obviously the Holy Spirit has to take the gospel and make it effective to hearts if there's going to be any true conversion. But men preach the gospel. Men baptize those who believe the gospel by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And men teach those who have been baptized in the name of Jesus, teach them the word of God so that they know what has been taught by Christ and what has been commanded by Christ. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's water baptism. The fact that there is such a thing as spirit baptism, and the fact that you have, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, been baptized by the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean that you have no need for, no obligation to, no concern in regard to water baptism. It is not one or the other, it is both. Please understand that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God grant you his eternal peace.